What is this? Just be patient. We will ask that they not do that. You know that that's not me. I'm here with you. So what is this cleaning house bit? Are the people that we're dealing with going to be cleaned out? What are they going to do with your speaker and your receiver? Says here, they're going to get rid of them. So, just a little bit of indigestion. No, we're not going to get rid of anybody except them. So, the first contact was with EJ to Ed, please do not run any more of these writings with no identification, nothing on them, until we finish, until we didn't shut them down, until we have finished running these public notices. And then, by golly, gee whiz, I want identification of those receivers. I even gave them names. Joseph will recognize this. So I want to introduce you to one who has grown up. And I want to tell you that the writing that swung these guys around was the one on war by Zonur, Joseph, and he's right here. It's games playing. It's ego in operation. So were we upset? No. And when these people left, we just had our young man who has his little army going to Europe to get us some interim funding. Should have been transferred already. Well, then there are other issues that came up. Other countries wanted to get into the program. So could we just hold it? Well, how long did you want to hold it? Well, we'll need some contracts and we'll need some paperwork. Well, but we can't divulge names and we, for security, we can't do this and we can't do that. How can we work it out? So we finally get a system worked out. And it just gets too complicated back here. And when on schedule, the man made the trip to London, funds in a major size were to be transferred in an interim fund to get covered with gold immediately, and part of it would flow here to catch everything up. Just catch everything up until we could breathe. Well, that bogged down. They had all their documentation done in order, and it will break loose. But now comes the Bobsey bunch sending these newspapers over to the guy. 15 of them show up in his post office in Davao. This is in Mindanao, the southern large island. And it's almost all Muslim. And its governor is Muslim, and his name is Miswari. And I don't think this is funny. And then they send all their little flower sheets to him. That's not funny. And then somebody sends a letter bomb that blows up the Davao post office. Well, now, what would you think if you were them and they have been watching this fanatic crap come in that post office? And if the team upon which we're going to build a structure is no brighter than to do these stupid, silly, childish little games, that will get someone else killed is what we have with which to work. I'm not going to work. And you're to the crossroads. And before we have a little break, I want to lay another one on you that's good news. And this is why I want you to get that next book by Dyer, because I want you to begin to associate every non-coincidence that happens to you. And when you finally turn it over to God and say, "Sir, I don't understand this all. I'm putting it in your hands, and I'm going to release it to you, but I'm going to do everything that I can to help." You will watch it happen. And the heart is so tight. "Sir, we're leaving. We have not had our man back yet from London. The visa's expiring," all the things, and I'm saying, "Go home. Let us tend our business at home. They need to gain the strength of the..." Oh, God, EJ, you've got to be there. I mean, these are the Hong Kong bankers coming over to meet with you. Guess what? Today. No. They can call you today if they have to. We are going home to get our house a little bit in order, and our people a little bit more comfortable. So EJ and Norma were doing business with someone, 20 years ago. All of you have heard of Bill Cudd, for instance. Well, most of you have heard of John Jeffers. Audrey and Eric have heard of John Jeffers because Audrey invested some money in helping him. I'm not going to divulge amounts right now. I want you to keep in mind, however, that one of the major thrusts, and we have bunches of money on the table. If I told you how much, if I just said, "EJ, how much is processing," you wouldn't believe him. It's so huge. And, of course, these people have gotten pretty casual about saying, "Well, I will believe it when it shows up. I'll do everything I'm supposed to do. I'll go meet. I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do. But it's too overwhelming. I just will accept it as it rolls." And now it is rolling through. Bong, bong. Now, I don't want you to think I've lost my marbles. These are the names they give their people. The son of Imelda and Ferdinand's name is Bong Bong. There is one called Bing Bing. And then there is a Bing Bong. Now, they're in different families. And pretty soon, you think Ding Ring Dong Dong. And then there is Tony Boy. Well, that goes with Eddie Joe. So they got along really good. But then comes to the meeting somebody called Tony Boy. And he's an attorney, and he comes in, and nobody knows who these people are talking to. "Hi, Tony." And he, "That's it." "Huh? Well, isn't your name Tony?" "No." "Victor, you said his name was Tony." He said, "No. I said Tony Boy." "Okay. Tony Boy. Attorney Boy."
Oh, gosh.
"He's an attorney. So doesn't Tony Boy sound like Tony Boy to you?" "Well, to them it's Attorney Boy." So we started calling everybody Tony. Tony J, you know. Tony Marge. So it's the new label. "What is your name, Tony?" Except when it's Bong Bong. Well, there is another story to briefly tell you, before Ferdinand met Imelda and fell in love with her, she was, I don't know about all this love bit, but she was the queen of Manila. You know, she was the rose queen or something, beauty pageant. And he meets her, and so in a very short period of time, they decide to get married. But that dispossessed his mistress and three children. So before Bong Bong, there were the older children. Now, they take care of one another. They don't seem to object to this relationship. Guess who Jeffers is working with? Anyone want to just guess how crazy this gets?
Bing Bong?
The first Big Bong. His mistress' son, who now probably lives all over, but is basically working out of New York. And you should have some money by certainly the end of the week or very early next. Money is changing hands, changing banks. As we speak, accountants are just feverishly working. When we talked with Jeffers last night, his first major thrust, Audrey, is to get cleaned up what he owes with interest to Eckers and to Audrey. And it will be flowing. He thought the major ones that have to be paid to keep the business rolling should be the first, but you should be getting some word by the end of the week, possibly transfers. It will be bank-to-bank wires so that it won't have to clear. And that will be enough to keep you going very nicely until we can sort out and get the other going. Everything is going to have to be done offshore. This seems to be a problem for some. No, the U.S. wants it done offshore. They will even work with us if you don't come in and collapse the economy of the United States. And they had already made their arrangements as to how much they would allow to be funded at any one given point. How long it would be before there would be a major confrontation over any of this. And I'm talking IMF, World Bank, and the Fed. But they don't want this kind of massive stuff coming over here or being introduced into the U.S. That makes it better for us because as we gain a little bit of funding, we can go ahead and get the proper procedures started, and then we can start funneling money from offshore onto offshore native banks. So all the while, you thought old Hatton was just lollygagging around. We truly have been getting things in order. And the question always comes, but we're so poor right now, and the price of gold is down. Yes, I've had to really keep it down, haven't I? You're going to be in a position to be buying, and they're going to give you some bigger discounts. You can make it another week or two. You see, fear. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have anxiety or concern, but fear immobilizes. Fear makes you do foolish things. And I'm not going to have liars, cheats, and thieves among the top teammates. And when we get down the road a little bit farther, you'll understand how much more important it was or is to have what happened happen. What are you going to do when there are billions of dollars to steal? Are these the kind of people you want running a system? No. You've got to have mature thought. You've got to get rid of the lollygagging, oh God. And yet, that connection between you and God is your path. But don't lie to God. And that's what's happening. You're not only lying about, you're lying to. And then you're calling it a game and you're trying to cover it up. And when the facts are out there and the light is on it, this is what you end up getting. You have nations to build. Bart thinks he goes and tends the little Indian children. You've got to build a medical network. And we've got all the team we need. Just remember that. And we can find people to fill in all the rest. You can hire people. And it's a lot less complicated, isn't it? A lot less heartbreaking than when you've held and handed your soul to someone to hold. And maybe the next cup of milk the little Kosivar child gets is because you saw to it. Because God must be there too. But it's going to be you that must do it. Not fantasy land. Not fantasy land. Every one of you receive. Some, you listen a little better. And then there are directed mission programs for information, for communication. And you don't know everything. You just don't know everything. But you're over the hurdle. It's over. It's done. We only have to bring it into the useful fruit to eat. And we've got to do it without the fungus. We've got to do it without the leeches. And you will always have some parasites. So you've got to take care. But we went from a program that now it has been so tampered with that it's unworkable. But we're going to tie it up in knots so nobody else is going to do it either. We are going to protect Russell Herman. They have his wills. If you knew all of the things, you would shudder. The role maybe that V.K. Durham played or thought she was playing. All of this is some exciting James Bond type stuff. But Russell Herman was real. And when he realized that his soul was going to bear some very heavy burdens, he started making arrangements. And they're going to pay off now. In humanity. Let's have a break, please. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
It seems like so much time, and it seems like no time. And that's where you've arrived. only in the now. And progressively you have now. One of the hardest things that human creature has to face and upon which you have to contend all the time is measuring your now by what was. And you can't just let it go. You can't say, oh, well, I will wipe all of that from my past, because you have to let go of the past. And you must stop judging and basing relationships, especially relationships, on any other interrelationship you had prior to now. And for all of you trying to struggle through a world in chaos and keep chaos out of your relationships, well, it just becomes impossible. So one of the impossibles to turn into possibility is learning to let go of everything in the past except the lessons you learned. Don't bring them up to beat each other over the head. Don't continually, well, you did this, you did that. No, that was your first wife or your first husband. Let it go. And even if it was this one, let it go. Every day now, you must build upon a good and substantial and sturdy foundation, because everybody's going to be taking pot shots at you. That isn't because you represent one thing and they represent another. It is because you are in a world of confrontation. And if I'm miserable, I'm going to see to it that you're miserable. And you live a lie. It would be like a relationship between Gail and Rick. What kind of a relationship could they possibly have based on lies and manipulation? And we always work from that which we deserve. Only you don't even know what you are. So how do you know what you deserve? So you will always treat your life experience the way you think you deserve. And you will always reflect off the other one that exact thing over which you, in your own individual personal self, perceives them to be doing. It may vary a little bit. Dorma can't see, EJ can't hear. So, my word, you have a whole chasm in here to blame. She can say to him, well, you didn't tell me, and I don't have anything wrong with my hearing. Let it go. Let it go. Let's grow up and move on. All of the wonderful experiences are in the now. And what you perceive may be able to come in the future. But you have to prepare just in case there is a future. Because if you're prepared, you're going to make it. And once you can grow outside the me-ness, where everything in your existence, because you are involved, you have to consciously let go of it. It won't go away on its own. And that's why I want all of you to read on past and into the experience of the sacred self. Because these are the things upon which you must build what we must have. And you expend so much energy being mad, being blameful. This is what I really feel sad about with whatever rifts you have, is this incredible game of blame. It was your fault I did it. It's your fault I got so strung out. And how do I know whether she is receiving from a false god or not? Do you realize it doesn't matter if she is? It's your responsibility to take truth and build upon it. Truth. There's a only one overall magnificent truth about being. But everyone, every individual has its own truth. Everything is truth. The story you may tell is a lie, and it may or may not be truth to the one telling it. There's one concept of God. But there are as many ways to make it there as there are individuals. Men and women function differently. And I know that that is the bane of all existence. It is also the glory of all existence. Because each bounces off the other. Each requires that the other listen, even if it's ungraciously. And how many quarrels have all of you had, and years later you remember the magnificent quarrel you had, if you could only remember what it was about. So what did you learn? Well, you learned that the memory's short and that venom can really pour when the disposition's up. Part of the shocker is that when the blame starts flowing, you find out what they thought of you all along. And then even they will deny that. Oh, well, I didn't really mean it. I'd had too much to drink, or I was whatever. Let's blame something else outside ourselves. Why not just take responsibility and you don't have to blame anybody? And then you know the ones who say, oh, well, I did it. I do it every time. I'm the one to blame. Well, that's a bunch of BS, isn't it? So, you know, you've got another game going. And it's called the game of look how hard I tried. The games people play. Well, most people don't have anything better to do with their time. If abuse of substance or alcohol or whatever is going to flow into your now existence, get ready to get rid of it, because we're going to. You've got to begin to function now on the responsibility of self. Too much rests on what kind of a foundation we lay. And you can know that everything you do is either a distraction or a contribution toward something. So all of these mischievous little egotistical naggings at you, you really do want to cast aside because they're an annoyance. It isn't that you don't have time for them, because you will always take time to do whatever it is you want to do. But consciously try to begin to give these things up for the bugaboos they are. Is it really worth this argument or this nagging or this fight or this confrontation going on when I know I'm not going to get along the rest of the day? I know I'm not going to get along for the rest of the week. And if I keep doing this, maybe I'll have to go through a divorce, which is a bigger distraction. Or I'll have to put the kids in a foster home, which is even a bigger one, because the government will still make you go see them. And they'll even charge you for the foster home care after they take them away from you. Isn't it easier just to get along in the beginning? But can't you evaluate the growth of people by what they do? Blame Hatton. Blame the Eckers. Blame anyone you want to for your own foolishness. But it only makes you look more foolish. Because especially with the Eckers, we've had a lot of fun with this one. How could you be doing so very much wrong to get blamed for everything? And you've been gone for 9 months, long enough to have a baby. With no control over it. So you know how viable you are and how wonderful you are by what they're trying to do to you. So we can be cutesy, you know, like Flip Wilson and Red Skelton, and, oh, the devil made me do it. Well, of course the devil made you do it. But God kind of nudges the devil along a little bit. And when you've really blundered and locked yourself out of the door, have you ever noticed how the blame changes to something else and you even get in deeper? We're going to have to begin to clean those things up. But for addictions, there are solutions. And when we have money flowing, maybe we'll all just take a nice vacation to Mexico where they have chemical treatment for these addictions. I can't help it between you husbands and wives. But we're going to call it attitude adjustments. And there is nothing in the world healthier for a good attitude adjustment is to be busy growing and becoming. It's wonderful. They will come at you, your own enemies, and say, "Well, look how miserable you must be." Who in this room is miserable? We're having the most fun we've had in all of our experiences before or in this one. We have to complain a little bit about being a little overburdened to make sure that everybody notices that we're contributing something. Can't we just share that? So that our overall contribution is wonderful. And we're getting there because we know we need to rely upon one another. On the other hand, we also have grown up and realized that that always is not possible. It's very, very difficult. The older you get, the more directional you become. Or you never could make up your mind in the first place for all those years. So you get set in an idea. And along comes someone and says, "Well, you were set for poverty. Your little setting, your little wind-up and the little key was set over here to poverty. Or lack of success." Well, what you've done is successfully set your dial over here to lack of success, but you are going to become the most successful failure around. Well, do you want to be a successful failure with or without what you need to do something worthwhile? And would you sign away your future possibilities because you're pissed off and you think somebody may be talking to someone who's phony? This is what is really, really amusing. And I think these are the things that we're here to hear. The gossip. Look at the very traits of personality that go into play to get you to right here. And let's look at it a little bit and analyze it and have a little fun with it. I do know how to annoy. I know how to make you so mad that you'll do exactly what I wanted you to do in the first place. What will you do when ego has to strike out for survival? Will you get it under control yourself, or will you wipe out absolutely everything there is as a potential because you're immature? You might expect a kid to do this, but you better start giving up childhood once you've missed those years of childhood, because there's nothing but a better way out there for all of you. Any sort of chemical addiction that you have, we can get rid of. You have to want to do it because you're going to have to take a trip somewhere. You can either make that a joyful pleasure and a family outing, or you can make it miserable. but it will not be physically miserable. We need whole people, not cripples. We need to rebuild self-esteem, not ego. We need to put ego down and get real, true self-esteem and a desire to move forward and become what God knows you're worthy of becoming. Even I, as a commander, do not make sloppy choices. And that's my ego speaking. I know what you're worthy of becoming. I know what your soul wants to become. And you will each have made your lessons so that at some point here, all you've got to do is just stand for truth. You don't have to fight. You don't have to do anything except stand for truth. And when you have accepted a responsibility, and this always brings you back to the mundane of business, corporations, structures, responsibility of head of household, whatever your responsibility is, you do have to accept it and you do have to take a stand. It doesn't mean you take up an Uzi or an AK-47 and shoot the other one. Or if you're going to do that, why don't you just shoot the other one and get it out of its misery? But you don't do that. You eat it alive. Because your only existence has been this sort of behavior. It fills up your time. You're bored. So why don't we develop something so we don't have to live in boredom? Why don't we become so that life is vibrant and we're passionate about it and we're seeing the results, not just the digging out from whatever went wrong. But as an example, after our friends over in the Philippines have kissed us off, EJ says, well, you can't go without us having the authority to work without you. Now we get, as we're leaving the hotel, right? The little bobsy trio, me and my two kids, we're going to go to the Manila airport and we're trying to get out wee hours of the morning. And everybody's saying goodbye. And there are two faxes. One from Charles and one from Rick. And now they're going to get these two on fraud. Oh, remember this well. What you can do legally, lawfully, and rightfully, and righteously within a corporate structure. Those who didn't bother to find out what time of day it might be are going to run into trouble. Everybody remembers what they want to remember. Rick writes his little document. I'm going to go back all the way to V.K. Durham and Rusty Herman. The arrangements were made with Hatton and Rusty Herman. I couldn't send the Eckers back when Rusty was dying, so we sent Rick, once again, fully expenses paid. We sent him back again after Rusty died. But you see, in good corporate structure, the person with the corporation may know very damn well what you're doing. But now suddenly, Rick's going to be rich. And Charles is just there. I'm sorry, I don't mean to put him down by saying that. I'm just saying Charles was there. Charles was always there. Charles read every incoming document in both the contact office and Eckers' house before anyone could get them. He knew everything. It got to be a joke around Eckers' house, you know. Well, he might as well leave it on the top or Charles will have to look for it. And why not just read it in front of you because everybody knew, see. So because of this, Charles would also make sure he was there for every phone call. And let's get it on the speaker system. if you ask a personal question, Charles could always answer it. He knew. He knew before anybody knew. But he certainly didn't know the right things. And Rick comes blundering through, and he writes up a document, and he says, but I'm going to be a signer on this always. Oh, okay. What do you want to be? Well, I don't know, but, you know. Well, we're going to be working through this corporation, this one, and this one. And so now you're talking about being in Manila. Well, what are you going to do? You have four people there. What are you going to do? Oh, well, let's just make everybody a member of the board of directors. Let's just make everybody a vice president. Well, do you want that to show up on the records? No. Oh, well, okay. We'll make you a vice president. Or would you rather be an executive officer? Or what is it that you would like to be? Oh, well, I'd like to be a director. Oh, okay, here we go. But Mr. O'Bannon, or whatever nominee, shows up in the state records. You're going to have to sign all the documents, Mrs. Ecker, so what would you like to be? Well, I'd like to not be anything on any of it, if you don't mind. I can tell you guys are going to dump all this on my desk, she says to them. Oh, well, okay, maybe we could write a contract to so-and-so. Oh, okay, Rick would say. So he would be up and bounded away, and he would come back with 100. But you've misspelled the word. Consular. Consular general. Consulate.
Commander?
Yes.
Can we interrupt you till we change our...
Oh, that's a good idea.
Machinery.
I can always tell I'm home now.